What's up, y'all? Y'all know who this is. It's the ghost of the Louisville Lip. Please excuse my chirping friend in the background. You really just cannot shut up a cricket. Although the Asians say that if there's one in your house, it's supposed to be good fortune. So I could use some right now. Anywho, I know it's been a while since I've been back on, and I apologize for that. I will work harder on consistency and continuity in the future. I appreciate each and every one of you who have been tuning in so far. You are deeply, deeply appreciated. Tonight, I want to talk about this movie that I just got through seeing on Netflix, called Napoli, not Happily, but Napoli Ever After. It's about a woman named Violet and her struggles with perfection, to put it in a one sentence summary. Her perfection started with the perfect hairdo, which her mother would be told would be solely responsible for. Her mother would do her hair every week for her, all up into her adult life. And with this perfect hair came, I guess, the perfect job. She was in a marketing firm, one of the top in the firm and stuff, in the beauty department. And she had the perfect boyfriend who was going to be a doctor, and they had been going out for 2 years. And when the movie opened, it was about to be her birthday. And in her struggles with perfection, she pretty much was sabotaging her boyfriend's birthday surprise, because he was planning a surprise, but he was calling her assistant. So through her assistant, she was feeding him everything he needed to know that she wanted. But she swears up and down that he was going to give her a ring. Why? Because she saw that pretty little blue box in one of his pockets. So fast forward to the birthday party. What was in the little blue box was a very cute gold dog collar for the cute little Chihuahua Lola that he gave her for her birthday. Which he said that, what do you give the perfect woman? You give her, I guess, what he thought was the perfect pet, Chihuahua of all things. But I digress. So, of course, she was, you know, kept her composure and kept it classy. But at home, she was like, I don't even like dogs, and I wanted a ring. And then that's when it all kind of came out, where he was like, you're too damn perfect. You don't let your hair down, quote unquote. You don't act silly just at a random. You just very, basically, he was saying that she's predictable and too prissy and too perfect. And that's how, you know, a lot of guys really don't like that. That doesn't show a lot of vulnerability, for real. So she was like, okay, so I think you need to go, because you have wasted enough of my time. You can kick rocks, because it's obvious you're not going to marry me, because I don't plan on changing how I am. And that was her stance. So she kicked him out. And then fast forward, she kind of goes through this thing where she's trying to reinvent herself, but it don't work. She does this hideous, well, first, her hair got, she was under so much stress, and then she went to the beauty salon to just get her hair done. And the young girl, instead of putting a conditioner in her hair, she puts a relaxer in it, and the homegirl's hair starts falling out. So she had to get a weave. Then after that, she was tired of the weave, and then her hair grew, and then she dyed it blonde. And call herself trying to be a girl of the night, and that did not work out. She almost gave some white boy a concussion, which I thought was funny. And then her shit got caught in the rain, and it napped right back up. And she was, and then she went home drunk and just had that fuck it attitude, and shaved all her hair off with her ex's clippers. And then it gets interesting from there. She, kind of that's when she starts to reinvent herself. She starts to want more of a challenge at her job. So they give it to her, but they played it to the left. She was like, fuck it, I quit. Then she tries her chance at the guy who owns the salon. But that fell apart when she had to meet her bougie-ass mama. Because her mama was played by excellently by Lynn Whitfield. Lynn Whitfield know how to play them bougie heifers, but I digress. She was like, you should not have messed up. You wouldn't have messed, you know, you would have still had Clint, which was her ex's name, and all of that. Still trying to introduce the girl to other bougie ass men while she has her new boo on her arm. But anywho, the movie was good, and I don't want to tell too much of it. If you haven't seen it already, you should watch it. I also think white people should watch it just to get a grasp on some of the struggles women go through with self-acceptance because of the society that we live in with the Europeanized standards. And maybe get an understanding on why we feel the way we do about our hair. And why y'all can't just walk up and touch our hair like you want to go pet your cat or your dog. You cannot do that. That's inappropriate. At least ask. I can't say I was blessed. I have very long natural hair. I ain't going to tell you how long, but it's long. But I have been fortunate to not have hardly any incidences where people just walk up and touch my hair. A lot of times people ask me first, which I appreciate. And because you ask, I usually grant that request. But it just made me think of what happened about when I did my quote unquote big chop. Yeah, I did a big chop before they even called it the big chop. I have locks, dreadlocks, dreads, whichever you want to call it. But I have those. And it started with a dream. Like Biggie said, it was all a dream. I mean, I could redo that song. It was all a dream. I used to read Black Hair magazines, Hype Hair, all of that. And I would read those instead of Tiger Beat and Word Up and all of those. I was reading the hair magazines when I was a teenager, along with my cousin, who is a damn good hairstylist. But I had my hair permed from about, I'd say about 7, when they first came out with what was called PCJ, press and comb in a jar. That stuff was super strong, even though it was marketed for the use in young black girls' hair. That was probably one of the strongest perms, or relaxers, I should say, out on the market at the time. For those who don't know what a perm is in the black community, it's actually called a relaxer, as there's nothing permanent about it. But what it does is it relaxes the deep curl to make it straighter. The chemical component that usually is doing the straightening is sodium hydroxide, straight up acid. If you can find it, online, I also suggest the documentary by Chris Rock called Good Hair. In that documentary, a scientist did an experiment with sodium hydroxide in a Coke can. That was super shocking. But yeah, if you see that, that's the stuff that black women put on their skin and hair to make their hair straight. So it was torture. I remember getting a chemical burn every time I would get a perm, because they tell you do not scratch your hair prior to getting a perm, because you are leaving, basically, especially if you have kind of sharp nails like I do, you are basically rubbing off skin layers from your scalp, and you're exposing a very tender and vulnerable layer of skin on your scalp to the sodium hydroxide. So yeah, you get a chemical burn. It would feel like a scab, and it was a scab. It was a scab from chemicals trying to burn off your skin. And I would get one every time. So like I said, I've done this process from 7 up into my early 20s. And it was what I did. It's what I had to do, because I had the grandmothers who, well, first of all, I have thick hair. I was very tender-headed and did not keep still. So this was like God's, the answer to my grandmother's prayers, really, because she, I can tell, did not have the patience for my tender-headed, thick hair. So I would get these PCJs, or the other one, what was it called, a Ravine. Then they would always exaggerate just how nappy my hair was, so I have to get a super, which means that the sodium hydroxide was a little stronger. I mean, the chemical smell from this stuff, oh my goodness, it was gross. But yeah, I just remember getting all those relaxers all those years. It really was torture. Let me stop right here. Napoli Ever After is a movie adaptation of a book of the same name by an author. Her name is Trisha R. Thomas. I hope I'm getting that right. I suggest you also, for my readers, for my sister bookworms, to go and check out that book. Because in the book, which I would have loved to have seen in the movie, Violet got her hair pressed and flat ironed. In the book, she is getting relaxers faithfully at the time that you're supposed to get them. I think she even got them a little sooner. At the slightest kink, she was in there getting that creamy cracks, what they called it in Good Hair. As one girl said, I am addicted to the creamy crack. So after she cuts her hair off, she started having these dreams about getting relaxers, and they started turning to nightmares because the relaxer started to burn, and she was telling somebody to wash it out, but no one would wash it out, and it was just burning and burning and burning and burning. And at the time, I was like, I could not imagine, even in a dream, having that relaxer on my head and it's burning. And nobody is hearing me. She could, you know, in real life, could burn your whole scalp off, expose your skull or some stuff. Like, for real. If that stuff is left on long enough, you will not have hair or skin on your head. Google chemical burns from relaxers. I'm sure you probably see a bunch of pictures with that on there. As a matter of fact, I feel like I need to do that right now, because I've never done it. Chemical burns from relaxers. I've seen a few pictures where basically the woman was dark skinned and her scalp, where burned her skin off, was pink. Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now, and they are horrendous, and it just gives me all of those is giving me those memories all over again about those chemical burns. I would always get them near my ear or in the back of my head. Ooh, that one's really bad. I mean, I'm looking at these pictures of women with chemical burns that have no hair. Wherever that burnt place is, it is horrendous. And like I said, she kept having these dreams in the book. And I was like, I wish they would have tried to find a way to incorporate that in the movie. But like I said, they kind of changed the format of the storyline. And instead of her getting relaxers, she was getting flat ironed and pressed. But those chemical burns from relaxers, and I'm sure they probably didn't want to get any backlash from the companies, white companies, mind you, with big pockets, they didn't want to upset them. So I'm sure that's probably why they decided to do the flat iron pressing thing. And that ain't fun either, because I've had that done when I was young, getting a press and curl. I don't know what burn is worse, the chemical burns from perms or actual heat burn from hot metal frying grease on your scalp. Like, I don't know what's worse, but that all of that was just torture. But those are the things that black women go through just to be fully accepted in this society. And it just makes me think about, you know, I've been hearing these stories of schools having these predatory guidelines on black hair. No hair that's past 2 inches, no locks, no wild colors, no overly curly hair. And this is not just from, you know, majority white schools. This is also from black schools and black neighborhoods and, you know, predominantly black cities. I'm going to take a short break. And when I come back, I want to get into that topic. The topic of why is black hair such a problem? Thanks for sticking with me. Hope y'all stay tuned. And I'm back. Hope it didn't take too long. Probably didn't, because I don't know how short these little breaks are. But I left off saying that I wanted to talk about the predatory practices of a lot of schools and places of employment that have basically targeted black hair and black hairstyles. Really quick, I want to play this clip. It is 3 minutes and 36 seconds. It is from Caribbean's Next Top Model. This was back in 2017. It has been dug up. And now, which I'm assuming probably because of Napoli Ever After, somebody kind of was like, hey, y'all, remember when this bullshit happened? Bet y'all didn't even know about it. I, of course, did not. I don't have a TV, so I can't even tell you when I've watched America's Next Top Model. I don't even know they still make those anymore. However, I digress. This is Caribbean's Next Top Model. Who you will hear talking is the contestant Gabriella Bernard and Wendy Fitzwilliams, who was, I believe, Miss Universe in Let's see, that was a while ago. Let me do the research again and remember. I think it was like in the 90s or something. Don't give me the line. I just looked at it. 1998, yeah. So 1998, Wendy Fitzwilliam was Miss Universe, representing, I believe, Trinidad and Tobago. But she is the guest judge. I guess she's the Tyra Banks of the Caribbean's Next Top Model. So this is Wendy Fitzwilliam and Gabriella Bernard. And yeah, this is what happened.
Well, hello.
Hi.
My dear, before we get into your photograph, this was also the week of the makeover. Darling, what was all of that at my salon? I need you to explain to me why you were so unbelievably naughty and unprofessional.
Please do not relax my hair, because I've had it relaxed for 15 years. And my brand is about embracing your natural beauty and empowerment of Black people. I'm okay with texturizing my hair as long as my curls stay intact. You need to understand that my hair is my identity. People seek me out just because of my hair. So when you tamper with my hair, you tamper with my brand. If they say that it needs to be relaxed, I will have to eliminate myself. I'm sorry, I can't do the chemicals. I really can't. Like, I literally rather leave today because I don't do the chemicals than put the chemicals in my hair and say, like, I'm really, really, really sorry, but I need to put my foot down. Through me growing out my natural hair, I started to love myself more. Like, I started to accept myself more. Y'all could have given me, like, the worst hairstyle ever with natural hair, and I'd be so totally fine with it. This is way bigger than that.
Yes, so I must apologize to you judges. Previously, I had my hair straightened for 15 years. When I made the transition, I started to love myself more, because we live in a world where the media tells us that we need to have the straight hair to be accepted.
I hear you. I accept what you're saying. I have also transitioned, like so many other women recently, and I understand your position from that perspective. However, as a young up-and-coming attorney facing judges or senior counsel, as a young upcoming any professional, you have to be what? Professional. Shutting down my salon, creating that mayhem when there's so many other young women to get done and to look fabulous as well, is a loud non-starter. That's the kind of thing in the real world that gets you dismissed immediately. So that can't happen again. Okay?
If they don't want to do the hairstyle,
yeah.
Two choices. Either they do it or they go back home. There's no more.
Oh my gosh. I look just like Wendy.
That's a good photograph. You are a very attractive young woman, but I want to see that attractiveness reflected in the attitude moving forward. Yep. Thank you, Gabby.
Welcome back, y'all. Did y'all hear this mess? If you can, go Google this video, because the crazy part about it is Wendy Fitzwilliams is a very dark-skinned sister. In this video, it says that she's transitioning, but her hair looks bone straight, and it is obvious she has a weave ponytail in. And has the nerve to tell this brown-skinned woman, she's a little lighter than Wendy, but, you know, to tell her that she was unbelievably naughty because she was telling a hair care professional how to take care and, you know, give her the service that she wants. Last time I checked, and I have been a hairstylist for almost 20 years, you are supposed to give the client what they want, or as close to that as possible given their hair conditions. That was not naughty for her to say, I don't want my hair chemically straightened. We can do a texturizer as long as my curls stay intact. I don't really see, and I'm sure a lot of people would never see how unbelievably naughty that was, because it wasn't. And then was not even unprofessional. What is unprofessional is to make this girl believe that this is the only way for her to try to achieve a top spot in this competition. What is very misleading is the fact that this salon, basically you just made the salon look like it's only capable of doing chemically textured hair. Like, don't they have flat irons? Don't they have blow dryers? Don't they have the type of products to make her hair be straight without chemically altering the condition of the hair? Most hair professionals that I know, black, white, whatever, know how to make it do what it do with that hair dryer and them flat irons. No excuse. Even in the Caribbean, I know y'all press and curl and comb the Dominicans. Y'all do that a lot. So I know for a fact them sisters in that salon knew how to straighten her hair without chemicals. So for Wendy to, you know, to present that narrative like that, that was completely wrong. I really don't have a whole lot to say about that situation. I just wanted to give y'all a little insight of the things that black women go through with the policing of just the stuff that grows off the top of their head, the way it's grown out of the top of our head. It's like, we didn't ask for this. We did not ask for our hair to defy gravity, to kink, curl, whatever. We did not ask for this. This is something that we was blessed with. And I consider my hair a blessing. I've been growing my hair for almost 20 years as well. It's very long. I've never thought my hair would ever be this long. I love it. It's like a baby. And I don't plan on cutting it anytime soon. And my kids, I teach them to love their textures, whatever it is. If they got locks, there's twists, braids, cornrows, whatever, I make sure I affirm their beauty. Even my son, I affirm his handsomeness. And that's important. A lot of us, you could tell we have not been affirmed by our parents, because as black people, we swallowed and internalized all these other outside entities and voices saying that black was not good enough. And in 2018 going into 2019, we still have those voices that are telling us our hair is not good enough. It still baffles me how much our physical presence just makes white people uncomfortable. I really don't understand what it is about our features that makes you so uncomfortable yet so covetous of them. You don't want, like Paul Moody said, don't nobody want to be a nigga, but everybody wants to be a nigga. Like, you want the fat ass, you want the fat boobs, you want the fat lips, you want the high cheekbones, you want the locks. Oh my gosh, I just seen a picture of a white supremacist with locks. Like, what kind of oxymoronish thing is going on here? A white supremacist with locks. Really? Really? I mean, it's a shame that we as a people cannot just be who we are as we have been created to be. Like, when we come out of our mother's wombs, this is it. See us and either love us or hate us. And here lately, we've been getting a lot of hate. But let me be the first to say, black man, black woman, black child, you are all beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made by the Creator. And no one should ever, ever, ever make you feel less than that. You are a being of light because you are from the one who is the light of the world. And don't ever, ever forget that. Let me know y'all thoughts on this whole hair-raising situation that seems to still be prevalent in our schools and our workplaces as far as policing black hair and just the physical black form as a whole. Sisters, do y'all have any stories of being policed for your hair or any part of your being? Has anyone rudely grabbed your hair thinking that they're showing admiration? Let me hear your don't touch my hair stories, because technically I don't have any because I've never really had that problem. I'm not saying that to boast. I consider it a blessing, but it infuriates me to know that other sisters go through this as well. So let me hear y'all stories. Let me hear y'all thoughts and opinions on this. On Anchor, they have a way to do voicemail. I am contemplating if I want to display my phone number on air. However, I don't even think I'm supposed to do that. I have to go back into the Anchor guidelines and things and figure that out. But I will be setting up an email account very soon for this show. Most likely it'll be LouisvilleLip@gmail.com. Hopefully that is not taken. But when I get that set up, my next show, I will definitely do that. My next show will be in 2 weeks' time from this date. What's today's date? I think the 5th of October. So hopefully in 2 more weeks, I will have another show for you guys. I am still working on my expose. Well, not an expose, but my behavioral analysis of R. Kelly. I told y'all that book of his is a very difficult read. Because towards the end, it is obvious this man is delusional about his life. But I digress. I want you guys to have a great, 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 great day. And I hope to hear from you guys soon with your comments and questions and concerns, opinions. I take all criticism, constructive or otherwise. If you're trying to be destructive, keep it moving. I love y'all. And I hope to hear from somebody soon with those don't touch my hair stories. All right, you guys, be safe. Peace.